We're glad to be with you tonight. When we're not here, we think about you a lot.
Amen.
We have the computer and we listen to you.
Amen.
See you on the computer, but we're not like talking to people. We're listening. We're going to sing. How long has it been?
Amen. Turn Bibles tonight to the book of Nehemiah. We are in the book of Nehemiah still. And we are working our way through it. We're in chapter 6 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Bible says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages, and in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight with this message, your word, this book of Nehemiah, and the experiences, and that we can learn that through your word, from his experience and his life and his interaction there. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to receive this message for ourselves in a way that would do that work in our hearts. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I will say one thing with all of this cleared out, the acoustics is so much better in here. Did y'all notice that? I thought, man, it sounded like we had twice as many people singing tonight. And so we're going to leave it like this. No, I'm kidding. But I want to preach a message tonight on Nehemiah's stand. Nehemiah's stand. Taking a stand is challenging. taking a stand, sometimes we talk about it. We can sometimes talk about it in a way of like, yeah, bless God, I'm going to stand here no matter what. And we stand really strong until the wind comes, right? Until the pressure comes, until, you know, I am really, really persuaded that I'm going to do this thing until I get a little push on me, right? And then it's like, why am I even doing this? You know what I'm saying? Okay, is it just me? Okay, some of y'all, all right. But Nehemiah was a different kind of fellow. We've seen this through his life already. Point number one is this. Now it's getting personal. So in chapter 2, the enemy was grieved by the attempts to help God's people. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. It said, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, and the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So what we find there at the beginning, they were grieved that somebody was coming to help the people, right? It was good when the people were in a rundown place without any worship, without any help, and they needed them to exist. And so they laughed and they despised Israel. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And so again, their aggression is toward the Israelites as a whole. Then in chapter 4, they were wroth with indignation. Really, in chapter 4, verse 1, it said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So they even began to conspire against them in chapter 4, verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth. In verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to, what's that word? Hinder it. What was their goal? To hinder it, to stop it, to keep it from going forward. Find now in chapter 6 that they didn't succeed, right? The wall is built. Now in chapter 6, we have the wall built. And the enemy has all but lost the battle. What they wanted to do is stop Israel from having walls built where they could have their own protection. So they all but lost. And, you know, as Nehemiah said, I hadn't quite put the gates on yet, but that's going to happen pretty soon. And so the enemy is all but lost. But the enemy doesn't like to lose. The enemy doesn't like to quit. They still looked for an opportunity to stop them from going forward for the Lord. What we're going to find in this chapter, in chapter 6, is that they now turn their attention to the leader. It now becomes a personal attempt against Nehemiah. So now they're going to focus on not the people as a whole, because it didn't work. It didn't work. They tried. They have some connections. We're going to see this a little bit later in this tonight. In this chapter, they had some connections in there. They tried to get the people as a whole to be discouraged, and it wasn't working. So now they're going to try to, if we say it this way, cut off the head, right? See if we can chop down the leader. And so point number two is this: they never wanted to help. You'd say this far down, and you're like, what do you mean they wanted to help? Well, look back at chapter 2 again. We're covering this thought all together because it's a package deal. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. What he was saying to them is, this isn't about you. This isn't about being a community interactive society. This isn't about we're setting up a social welfare system called the church. No, no. He said, listen, what we're doing here, he said, you're out there, you don't worship our God. You don't follow our God. You don't seek the will of our God. You have no part of this. What we're doing for the Lord. Some want to build. Some people want to build. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for that. But some people want to hinder the building. I'm not glad for that. Okay? Some want to build. And by the way, when we're talking about build, are we talking about building? Yeah, some of that. Certainly, I think building and buildings and walls and facilities and infrastructure of what you're building, I think those are evidently a sign of prosper for the Lord and God's people. So I think there's something positive about that, keeping up and going there. But it's more than just building the facilities. It's really going forward as a people, what they were talking to. And it's the same thing for us, going forward as a church and serving the Lord. And so some want to build and some want to hinder the building. Nehemiah was not ignorant to the deception of the enemy. The enemy is deceptive. We might ask tonight, who is the enemy? Well, I mentioned that already this morning. There's lots of enemies. Sometimes the enemy is within us. You know, sometimes the enemy is without. Sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it could be the government. You know, we think about the Roman government. All kinds of things. But Nehemiah was not ignorant of the deception of the enemy. Look at verse 2, chapter 6. Back in chapter 6 and verse 2. It said, then that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Listen, right here. Never meet somebody in Ono. I don't know, just a joke. But there was an area about halfway between where they were. It's like, come meet us in this neutral ground. Well, just come meet us there. Let's get together. And into verse 2, Nehemiah says, but they thought to do me mischief. They pretended to now want to work with Nehemiah. They suggested that they were, let's come meet together. Let's just talk. Right? Let's work out some plan, some agreement to cooperate, right? Let's get this. But Nehemiah knew what their intent was. Folks, the challenge of leadership is, number one, is to discern the situation. Is discerning these situations easy? No, that's why I call it the challenge of leadership, is to discern the situation. It's discerning, you know, how do you really get smart enough to discern the situation? I don't know, I'm trying to get there. You know, one day I'm going to be smart enough to know these. What happens is these situations come and there becomes trying to determine, is this good or is it bad? Is it evil or is it righteous? Are these people truly on my side, or are those people opposed to me and trying to cause my mischief to me, try to cause my harm. The second thing is, though, is once trying to discern it, the second thing is how to handle it. Like, okay, these people aren't for me, so how do I handle it, right? That is just as difficult. You don't just say, well, let me pull out the leadership book and figure out what you do. You know, there isn't one like that. You say, well, it's the Bible. Well, some of the specifics are challenging. Discernment and how to handle the situation. Then the third thing is to wade through the waters of critique of those that don't like the decisions that you make. By the way, that the leader was trying to figure out and discern the situation. Then the leader was trying to figure out how to handle it. Then the leader has to deal with the critique of the people that didn't like how it was handled. See the challenge? Some people don't like it or they don't understand it. You know, I've had people in my years of pastoring, I've had people that would come up and say, you know, you should have brother so-and-so do such and such. You know what they don't know about brother so-and-so? They don't know the situations going on in brother so-and-so's life. You know why they don't know about that? Because I'm not going to tell them. Because it's a thing called nunya. Right? They're working through some issues, maybe. They got some sin or they got some challenges going on. And I'm not going to err. I'm praying for them, trying to work, hope that God will do something in their life, that they'd make some decisions. They're working through it. But they can come off looking really good. Or sister so-and-so, it could be either one. And they're looking at it and like, wow, we should really have them. And I'm like, well, you know. So first of all, I got to think about, why are they wanting me to get so-and-so to do this? Are they just trying to help so-and-so? Or they don't like whoever's doing it? You know, so you try to discern that. And so, you know, when I try to figure it out, most of the time it's like, I don't know. You say, why don't you get better at it? I'm trying. And then you try to figure out what to do with it. It's like, well, you know, this thing and... And so, well, you know, I just don't think you should do it that way. It's a blessing. I love critique of things that we've already done. You already did it. Like, why'd you do it that way? I don't think you should have done it that way. Thank you. Right? What's the goal? Now, there's some things like, maybe we could do it different in the future. That's something. I appreciate that. That's helpful critique there. But sometimes it's like, well, I don't like what you did. Well, it's done. I mean, it's like, why are you telling me? Oh, man, there's a challenge. There can be a tremendous pressure on leaders. They are at times blamed for the things that they do and criticized for the things. They're blamed for the things that they don't do, and they're criticized when they try for the things that they try to do, right? They're misquoted, misunderstood, and rarely given the opportunity to set the record straight. If they act quickly, they're considered reckless. If they bide their time, they're considered unconcerned. So I'm just trying to get this point this evening, is that leadership is full of challenges. And there's a group of people, a type of people. I don't say there's a group. I think there's a type of personality that, and it's usually, if I be honest with you, it's usually the person that actually contributes nothing is the one that wants to critique what's being done and has better ideas, but for someone else to do and puts that pressure. And it's a challenge. But here's, referring to the pressures of leadership, there's a president by the name of Harry S. Truman. He coined this phrase. Y'all have heard this phrase. I don't know if y'all knew he's the one that coined it. He says this: if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Okay, did anybody know? Y'all didn't know that one? Like three people knew it? That's been around for a while. Brother Bob, thank you. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. This is what President Truman actually coined that phrase when he was a senator. And later on, when he was the president, he was talking to his generals. He said, it's hard. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. So you're thinking, oh, Pastor, are you trying to say how hard it is? No, I just want to say that's hard. But if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's part of it. Listen, Nehemiah could take the heat. He could take the heat. So when Sanballat and Geshem wanted to have a meeting outside of Jerusalem. Nehemiah knew it was intended for his hurt. Look at verse 2 again. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, "I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" So, Nehemiah's answer was kind but firm. I like the way he, you know, I want to be like Nehemiah. There's no need to be crude. There's no need to be crude with the enemy. I mean, the enemy that really wants to kill you. Back there, they want to do violence to him. They wanted to attack him. They wanted to stop him. They wanted to destroy him. This was not a friendly. These are people that were casting shots constantly at them. Adam, and that's why we see chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5. We see it all the way through going this kind of thing. And so here it was, but there's no need to be crude when dealing with the enemy. But there is a need to be focused on living for the Lord. I'm not going to bend to be nice. Does that make sense? You know what we need to do? We need to take our stand. Listen, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Doesn't mean I need to be a jerk to someone else. Right? Doesn't mean, well, I just think you people are just such a bunch of heathens, you know. No. No, listen. We don't need to talk about how bad someone else is to say how good we are. If I'm following the Lord, I'm following the Lord. Of course, the enemy is persistent. Right? Look at verse 4 now. "Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." Whew. They did not stop, but neither did Nehemiah. Folks, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. The enemy is so persistent. "Hey, why don't you come to my house? We'll go do this on Sunday. Why don't we go do this? No, I go to church. Why don't you do this? No, I go to church. Why don't you do this? No, I go to church." And they just wear you down. To finally, you want to say, okay, listen. You could imagine how some of the Jewish leadership around Nehemiah may have encouraged him, watch this, to say, "Just go and deal with it," right? You know, "Hey, just go get it over with." You ever had somebody say that to you? And they're trying to be a blessing. They're trying to be a blessing. They're trying to just... And you don't want to do it. And they're just like, "Come do it. Go do it." And these people, "No, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Just go do it. Get it over with." Right? But Nehemiah answered in the same manner. No, I've got something important I'm doing. And I'm not going to leave it to go down there to be with you. So, we get to step 2 of the enemy's plan. Right? What actually started, you know, this is where patience is a really easy thing, right? No. This is where patience, though, begins to vet out what's actually really going on. And so sometimes having some patience pays off. Always. Can we say that? Look at verse 5. "Then Sanballat, his servant," I'm sorry, "then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, 'It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." Right? Hey, listen, we're getting to step 2. Hey, step 2 is this, blackmail. Brings this open letter. Right? Not a sealed letter. An open letter. "Hey, listen, some people are saying," right? You ever heard that one? If you've been in any kind of leadership, in church or even in business or any kind of place, wherever you're at, if you've been in any kind of leadership, you'll hear this phrase. Some people are saying, right? I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, people are saying, here's what I do now. This place in my life I've learned through the years. I'll ask this question. Who? Well, I don't want to say. Right? Y'all know the scenario, right? I don't want to say. I don't want to say who it is. I don't want to say. No. You know, who is it? Who is it? Well, it's my wife and my daughter. Well, and me. You know, I've said it too. I've heard that stuff, folks. I'm not making stuff up out of the blue. I've heard this exact thing. And finally, when you press somebody, well, it's, you know, my wife, you know. And I thought, man, you're funny. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I never, ever accept information that comes from the phrase, there are people saying. It means zero to me. Somebody says, well, people are saying. And if you can't answer the who, listen, let me say this. Name names or don't quote them. Right? People are saying, well, you know what? Listen, why don't you go tell those people to come talk to me? Well, I'm just trying to help you, preacher. Right? You're a blessing. You want to help me? Go tell people if they got an issue, come and let me make it right. Let's sort this out. Let me give an answer for it. But typically what I find in this situation, the people that get in that place, the people are saying usually isn't the people. Usually it's the person. It's my wife and I've been talking about this. You know, a lot of times the people are saying, I just don't take it. But I want you to notice something. Hussein Ballot uses as a reference. He does name names. Look at here in verse 6 again. Wherein it is written, it is reported among the heathen. So this is the heathen are saying this. And Gashmu saith it. So who is this Gashmu? I took a little time and looked at who's Gashmu. It's actually the same Hebrew word. It's the same name as Geshem. I tried to figure out why it was translated differently. I didn't find anything. And it's the same exact word. There must be some reason. Sometimes in Hebrew there could be a different usage of speech or something like that. I didn't get to that. But the point is, it's the same fella. It's Geshem. The enemy that's with Sanballat is the reference person that says the heathen are saying this. Who's saying it? Well, my partner. That's what he said. It's funny. Isn't it funny? You know what's funny about it? We continue life the same exact way. Man, human nature is so predictable, which is helpful for us. You know, when you see something and you're trying to discern it, you could say, you know what? I bet I could find something like this in here. Amen? Well, so does the Bible have answers for every situation in life? Oh, I think it does. Now, we have to dig a little bit. Spend a little time, take a little patience. But he comes and he says this, in this letter says this, that they're saying, they are saying, you are rebelling against the king by building this wall. No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it, but they're saying it, right? See how they distance themselves? I'm not saying it, but they're saying that you're building this wall and you're rebelling by building this wall, which is really funny because he went and told the king why he was coming, and the king sent him letters and money. And it's kind of weird. Isn't it weird sometimes you look at some of these things and like, did you think that argument was really going to play out? The enemy isn't smart, but they are persistent. He said this. He said, you're rebelling. He said, they are saying you are going to be their king. And they are saying you have appointed prophets to say that you're king. That's what he said. He said, you're doing this. They are saying that you want to be their king. They're saying that you're telling prophets to go, because that was the thing in that day. The prophet would pronounce a king and that would be the thing and so forth. So he says, listen, let's take counsel together to straighten this out. I just want to help you. I want to help you. The enemy will use all sorts of stories to get their way. It's unending. It's aggravating. But Nehemiah was having none of it. Look at verse 8 now. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. I love it. I love it. Here, there are times when you have to cut straight to the heart of the matter. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that. You're saying that. You're partner. You're against us. No, you're just making this stuff up out of your own heart. Nobody's saying that. Sometimes niceties. Yeah, I can't. I've got an important work. It's a great work I'm doing. I can't let it stop while I go meet with you. I can't do being nice. I think it's okay to be nice, but when the persistence comes and then this other stuff comes, he said, no, listen, no, not doing it. You're making this stuff up. It's coming out of your own heart. This is not so. You're making it up. Their only goal was to hinder the work from going forward. And in their mind, removing Nehemiah would stop the work. You know, I wanted to say for a second, it just came to mind, I was going to say, you know, removing him out of the way wouldn't stop the work, though. God would just send someone else, like he did. But here's the thing. Nobody was doing the work. Somebody came in, Ezra, right? And now Nehemiah. Somebody came in to say, let's build. Let's go on. Let's do something. And the people then said, okay, let's do it. Right? So, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they had watched this for some time. Right? They'd been around here for a long time. They've watched this and they watched these others come on and they thought, if we can get this out of the way, the people will go back to what they were used to. In other words, we can once again have control over them. They're not going to be doing anything. If I relate this to the church, they won't be going out reaching people. They won't be seeing people saved. They won't be seeing people baptized. They won't see people telling others about Christ and inviting them to church. Right? If we can, now you say, do you think people inside a church are doing that? Do I think they're conscientiously saying, I don't want God's work to be done? I don't think that's the case. I think we let's look at this a little bit more. I wanted to say this. Nehemiah was seeking God to strengthen their hands. Listen, Nehemiah was seeking God. His help, his encouragement wasn't from wasn't within. He was seeking God to strengthen his hands, and so it went on, and they lived happily ever after. Right? No. Number 3. The enemy within. The enemy within. Look at verse 10. I didn't read verse 9, didn't I? For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. That makes more sense what I just said there. Yeah, so we find that. So, but now, point number 3, the enemy within. Verse 10. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Watch this. Within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. Look back at verse 9 again. For they all made us, what? Afraid. So this man, Shemaiah, seems to at least be friendly with Nehemiah. As Nehemiah is now going to his house. He's there in the city and he goes to his house. Evidently, Shemaiah had been shut up. It means to be set apart, to be shut up from away from the people, because he was ceremonially unclean, or because he was separating himself for purity, or he was pretending to be so. one of those three. So Nehemiah had to go to him because he was shut up, separated from the people. So Nehemiah went to him. So Shemaiah seems to have given this prophecy of Nehemiah being killed by the enemies. He's a prophet. And so he says he sees this going on. And so he said, let's go with me. Let's go into the let's go to the house of God. And it says there, it's an interesting phrase what it's talking about there. It says let's go into the house of God within the temple. Now, his counsel was for them to go hide out together in the temple, within the temple, to be saved from death. Fear is often a strategy to get one to stop following God. Fear. You're going to lose your job. You're not going to get a promotion. You're going to lose customers. If you do this, you're going to lose customers. You're going to get lawsuits. You're going to have this. You know, if you do that, your family, this, that, the other thing. Listen, fear is often a strategy. But Nehemiah wasn't having it. Look at verse 11 now. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Nehemiah is crazy. He says, why would I? Why would a man such as that, someone who is, I am following and trusting the Lord, I'm following the Lord, I'm doing the Lord's work, why would I run and hide? Why would I say, listen, I'm doing what God wants. Why would I stop doing what God wants me to do so I can go save my own life? See, I just need to straighten this out of my life. See how we sometimes we'll use these kind of excuses. I just need to do this thing to get my life in order. I just need to pull back. And oh wow, listen, Nehemiah wasn't having it. He said, listen, this is where discernment gets difficult. It really is. You have one that's presumably a friend telling you to go hide for safety. Going against those kind of people can be difficult. People that are your friend, people that are with you, and they're telling you, you need not do that. You need to pull back. I remember I was in this Bible college course on finances, and we had to do this, you know, our budget. The budgeting class. You know, we all did that in Bible college with this budgeting class. And I'm doing, I was there with two kids, or I had four kids at that time. It was two different times I went to Bible college. And then, so we're there, and I would do the numbers, and I'd get down to the bottom, and it would be red. And I'm like, no, it can't be red, because I got some money. And so I'm doing it, and I'm like, and so the teacher that was teaching, he looked at it, he said, you know, you're in Bible college now. You probably shouldn't be giving so much to missions. And I said, well, here's the thing. This is showing red, but I got black, so I'm just gonna keep doing it that way. Right? I mean, sometimes it doesn't work out, but and I don't think he meant to be. He tried to tell you. I think sometimes what we get, though, is we can have people that try to say, hey, there's a better way, a route, a better way. But here's, listen, it can be difficult. But Nehemiah understood what was going on here. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, and lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Ha! See how it's unfolding here? Shemaiah was telling Nehemiah to go into a place that was preserved for the priests. Going to that? No. Listen, it's going to be okay. This, I know it's only supposed to be for the priest, but it's going to be okay this time. was it okay to touch the ark with the bare hand to study it? No. You wake up dead if you do that. Right? And so, listen, if we must sin against God to do God's will, something's wrong. The whole purpose of this endeavor was to get Nehemiah to do something that he might now be accused of. Man, this is called entrapment. And Nehemiah was having no part of it. Nehemiah stood strong. Look at verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Listen, there was evidently more than just this Shemaiah that was involved in the plot. There's Noadiah, the prophetess. What's up with her? And these others, they're there joining in on this. There's a whole gang of them. Why are all these people ganging up on Nehemiah that's trying? So, you ever do that? You're like, where did all these people come against me? I thought everybody was for me. I had a fellow one time, he came up and And there was a weird business meeting and things. And afterwards, he'd come up and give me a hug. This is a big, burly guy. He comes and give me this, brother, we're for you. We're for you, brother. I'm like, all right, okay. The next day, that was a men's meeting. The next day, there was a business meeting. I'm telling you, he won for me. And I thought, wow, sometimes you can think, what's going on here? People can be crazy. Listen, Nehemiah went to the Lord to take care of his enemies so that he could get back to work. Man, I would say, what do we do? I'm going to tell you right there, that's a good starting place. God, this is coming in on me. What do I do here? He said this. Here, how about you do this? God, what Nehemiah did, he said, God, would you take care of them? Would you take care of them? Because I got some work that you told me to do. Would you take care of them? I'll tell you, that's the best answer. Look at verse 15 now. So the wall was finished in the 20 and 50 day of the month Elul. Elul? Man, that felt weird. And in 50 and 2 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. God was doing a work, and that was clear. Amen. That was clear. But behind the scenes, there can be a multitude of challenges. In verse 17, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. You see what's happening here? The enemy within. The nobles inside of Jerusalem were sending letters to the enemy. And the enemy was sending letters to them. Oh, man, how frustrating. Verse 18. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law to Shechaniah, the son of Era. And his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also, they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Oh, man. Wow. Many of the nobles had sworn loyalty to Tobiah over loyalty to the work of God. This, right here, folks, is often the result of people leaving a church. They're following a man instead of following God. That's why sometimes you'll see people, you'll see a group go and people go with them and others go with them. It's because there's this loyalty, instead of to the work of God, there's this loyalty to someone in this case. Well, I think loyalty is a good characteristic. I do too. Loyalty to the Lord. Loyalty to Him. No one has my loyalty like the Lord. So these nobles, we might call them leaders among the people, had all along been communicating with the very enemy of the work. Tobiah had been an enemy from the beginning. We find that from the very beginning of chapter 2. We see that. Maybe that's why we find what was written in chapter 3 and in verse 5 when it talks about, and next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Those that will not be part of the work of God will also be the ones that have a divided loyalty. These nobles, leaders in the church, so to say, had then uttered words to Nehemiah, reporting the good deeds that Tobiah had done. Ah, he's a great guy. In the meantime, Tobiah's trying to put fear in them. While all along these nobles, all along knowing it was mostly fabrication or inflation. Man, there's just lying all over in this stuff, isn't there? All during the same time, Tobiah was sending letters to Nehemiah to put him in fear. What a mess. Here's our conclusion. In chapter 6, here's our conclusion. Number one, leading is difficult. Leading is difficult, full of challenges and resistance. So this, and I'm saying this for my own benefit, give leaders some grace. Amen. By the way, I'm not the only leader, right? Give leaders grace. Discerning how to wade through all of the personalities in a church can be daunting. I mean, it's so amazing. You'll talk about something, and there's a group of people that'll just be excited, jubilant about what's going on. And then there'll be another person that says, I think that's a really bad idea. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, forget you people. We're going to do this way. And you're like, no, I want to be sensitive to the personality and the situation, the spirit of this one. But, you know, man, it's daunting. I'm just telling you, folks, it's daunting. By the way, this day that we're living in is got to be the worst, except for what's probably coming ahead. Right? We are getting. We're in a society, we've got a terminology now called snowflake. And it doesn't mean snow. Because we actually can have snowflakes in Florida. Anyway, you'll get that later. There's a whole thing talking about people that are soft and easily, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It's a challenge, folks. Number two is this. Don't be a Tobiah. Nor a Shemaiah. Nor a Noadiah. Nor like the nobles that were sworn to follow Tobiah while he hindered the very work of God. You're going to have to use some of your own discernment. Right? Got to use some of your own discernment. If we have to have an ungodly and hurtful spirit towards someone or toward the work of God, something is wrong. And the last thing is just this, be like Nehemiah. Be like Nehemiah, steadfast in the work of the Lord, despite the rumors. Well, they're saying this about me. That's just going to be life. Because if you get hurt, if you get church hurt, and like, you know, people here, the people at church, they say stuff about me. You know, you get out of church because people outside of church, they don't say things about people. The other bunch of hypocrites over there at church, they're not outside? Come on. Let's be steadfast in the work of the Lord, despite the rumors, despite the enemy, despite friends that would have split loyalties. Be faithful. Be steadfast. In the end, the work was accomplished. At the end, it was built. The walls were up. And it was clear that it was wrought of God. Man, that's the exciting thing. I'm telling you, when you're steadfast, God, people see God working in your life, and I'm telling you, it's a thrill. It's exciting. You got to wade through all that garbage. You do. You got to wade through. We all have to do that together. But at the end, when we do that, the world, your friends, the enemy, all of them see God done something there. Determine tonight, right now, that you'll be on the Lord's side. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would help us to take these thoughts and this passage and this chapter tonight, and that would be something in our life that would encourage us to take a stand. And Lord, standing is not mean, it's not crude, but it is firm. And Lord, would you help us to be like Nehemiah, Lord, with the courage to stand against rumors. And Lord, help us to be those that want to go to the work, for the work, and let us build together. Lord, help us to not get ourselves involved in being like Tobiah or Shemaiah or Noadiah and those that want to hinder it. We pray that you'd give us discernment in those areas, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.